Welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Pearlman. On today's program, I'll be presenting another in my Health Challenges series. My guest is Joe LaQuatre, Professor Emeritus in the Department of Design and Environmental Analysis at Cornell University. He has studied indoor environmental quality since 1986. He is an outdoor enthusiast who lives on 42 acres with a private pond. In 2017, he was noticing some persistent negative symptoms like fatigue, brain fog, and nausea, and he was eventually diagnosed with Lyme disease, and that's what we'll be discussing on today's show. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Tish. It's nice to be here.
Now, active or outdoorsman, runner, all that stuff, and then you start having all these strange symptoms. Tell us about that.
Well, it started on July 3rd, 2017. I usually get up before my husband, Greg, and make coffee. You have to go through our living room to get to the kitchen. And I got as far as the living room and just collapsed on the couch, passed out.
Wow.
He came downstairs sometime after that, and I stirred a little, and he looked at me and knew something was wrong. I was burning up. He put his hand on my forehead, and he said, "Yeah, you are." And he went and got the thermometer. I had a fever of 103.
Oh, my God.
I was nauseous. I had a horrible headache, and I never get headaches. So he took me to the emergency room. And we were there for about 5 hours. I was hooked up to intravenous fluids. I got the fever down. And the doctor said that I had a viral infection and I would feel better in 10 days. And I didn't. So we went to our regular primary care physician, Dr. Catherine Canariato, and she drew blood, did a clinical evaluation. I got a call the next day and was told that I had Lyme disease.
Wow, that is unbelievable. Had you had symptoms prior to that? I mean, was this working up to a final inflammation of this disease?
No, it came on all at once. I never saw the tick bite. I had been careful. I have a niece who is an environmental specialist, and she does a lot of outdoor work, and she said, "Wear rubber boots, and you'll be okay." And so I usually did wear rubber boots when I went to let our chickens out or check the mail, but a few times I did that barefoot, and I think that's probably how I got it.
Oh, my God. It seems like on all those acres of land that you live on, it would be a perfect setup for something like this. Now, I wanted to ask you about your brain fog, forgetfulness. Why did this affect you mentally? I hadn't heard that before.
I have a close friend who lives in Maine, Leslie Hudson, and her husband had Lyme disease for 3 years before he was correctly diagnosed. He was told that he had psychological problems from childhood trauma. He eventually developed dementia, and then they found out he had Lyme disease.
Wow.
Yeah, if it goes unchecked, it gets into your brain, which happened to me. Greg was talking to me one night, and it was as though he was speaking a foreign language. And he watched as I took a plastic container out of the freezer. Had a homemade ice cream in it, and I put that on our gas stove and turned the gas on.
Oh, my God.
Right, and that's when he knew something was seriously wrong. So he found a specialist through the International Lyme and Associated Disease Society, LADS, that Leslie put us in touch with, and this is Dr. Kenneth Ligner.
Why did you suspect it was Lyme, though? I've read so much about Lyme, and so many times people are not believed. It's called psychological problems, like you had mentioned. How did you discovered that was the problem?
That was Dr. Canariato's office. You can't just rely on a blood test because you get false negatives for Lyme. So it's a combination of that and a clinical evaluation. So after my first round of doxycycline that I started on about mid or end of July of 2017, I was on a 3-week dose and then I felt fine. But in October of that year, I have psoriatic arthritis, and I go to the arthritis clinic in Syracuse to see a rheumatologist once a year now. My right knee was swollen, and it had been replaced 3 years prior to that, and it was fine up until then. I knew something was really wrong. And that doctor, Matanos, and his physician's assistant, spent quite a bit of time with me, and they said, "This is Lyme disease." And I said, "I've already been treated for it." And they put me back on doxycycline, this time for a month. And then I was okay for a while, till one morning, it was a Friday. I woke up and I had a really bad toothache underneath a molar. I was sure that I needed a root canal, but my dentist is closed on Friday, so I got through the weekend with Orajel and cotton soaked in bourbon that I chewed on.
That good cure.
Yeah. Well, then my doctor let me in an emergency appointment that Monday, and she took x-rays and sat down with me, showed me the x-rays. She said, there's nothing wrong with your tooth. I said, what is causing this pain? And she said, what is going on with you? And I said, well, I had Lyme disease. She said, yeah, that's what it is.
Oh.
And put me on penicillin for a month. And then it felt better until then. Then it got in my brain. And I spoke with Leslie, and she is the one that put me in touch with ILADS. And then we found Dr. Ligner. And he spent 2 hours clinically evaluating me and did a blood draw.
Mm.
And then a month after that, we had a telephone conversation. And he told me that I not only had Lyme, but I also had Rocky Mountain spotted fever and tularemia, or rabbit fever.
Oh, my God. Is that caused by being outdoors as well? The ticks?
No, it was a toxic tick. It's called a co-infection. You can get more than one tick-borne illness at a time. So he put me on minocycline. That's an antibiotic that targets the central nervous system in the brain. That was a very difficult one to take. The dosage is 1 to 4 tablets a day. I wanted this nightmare to be over with.
Yeah,
because this is going on almost a year now. And I took 4 the first day and threw up my dinner. And then I threw up a lot. I was vomiting almost every day.
So what did they do about that? Obviously, it wasn't helping if you weren't able to keep them down.
I just went down to 1 pill a day, but I lost a lot of weight. Greg took me back to the doctor, and I was down to 122 pounds, and I'm usually 133. So she told Greg to make sure that I had at least 1 jar of Ensure or Boost per day. And I lived on Ensure and Jell-O for about a month.
Wow.
It just the thought of food seemed gross to me. It wasn't that I didn't have any appetite. It was the thought of food was just very unsettling to me.
Oh, my God. You know, everybody's heard about Lyme. It's been talked about for several years now. Did they know that there were going to be so many symptoms and problems with the body in regard to this disease?
No. It wasn't until I saw Dr. Ligner that I found out that I had the co-infections.
So that caused more disturbing symptoms, right?
Right.
If you had just had plain Lyme, it wouldn't have been so drastic.
I wonder about that myself, yeah. I told you I had my knee replaced in 2013, and then I had the problem with the knee that the rheumatologist said was Lyme. And then it just, the pain was really sharp. And I went to an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Deidre Blake. She took an x-ray and sat down with me, and the top of my patella, instead of being smooth, looked like a saw blade.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Joe.
The bacteria, the infection now had caused damage to that knee. And then my left knee started bothering me, and she took an x-ray of that and saw that that knee had to be replaced, but the kneecap was mostly gone. You usually keep your kneecap when you get your knee replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
So in my left knee, I had my knee joint replaced and the patella was replaced with a plastic plate. I'm lucky, though. I can still walk. During this time, I remember I was flying to New Orleans to speak at a conference, and I was chatting with a woman next to me, and she has a friend who had a 17-year-old daughter who ended up in a wheelchair over Lyme disease.
Really?
Yeah.
Does this happen because it's not found in time,
I think that's
it lingers
part of
in
it.
The body and causes all this damage?
Yeah. The Lyme bacteria can actually hide from antibiotics. And then after it's gone, there are parts of it, spirochetes, that continue to make you feel pretty bad.
Yeah.
It changed my sleep patterns. While I was sick, I was sleeping 11 hours a night and then 4 hours during the day.
Wow.
So 15 hours of sleep a day. And even now, I will wake up in the middle of the night wide awake, and I just have to get up and do something for an hour or two, and then I can go back to sleep. But I feel pretty bad the next day.
Oh, my God. So this is an ongoing...
It's ongoing.
...disease that you just have to cope with
permanent
and maintain.
Yeah. Yeah. My knees are permanently damaged. I use a cane on my really bad days. And at airports, I've had to ask for wheelchair assistance. if the distance between my connecting gates is pretty far.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, we've known each other a while. You know that I was a runner. I used to run 35 miles a week.
Yeah, yeah.
So quite a thing to get used to.
God, it's absolutely amazing. I don't think anybody knows the extent to which this can destroy the body and the joints and the brain. But you know what else I was wondering about? You were on such extensive antibiotic treatment, and that's not good to be on that so long and so many times during a year.
No.
How has that affected you? Has that affected in regard to infections you might be getting? Or?
No, I've been okay since then, but Dr. Ligner was concerned because it had gotten into my brain that there was some damage. So I had a brain MRI and was relieved to find out that my brain is okay.
But so what do you have to do to maintain your quality of life in regard to this disease? Constant vigilance? Do you take any medications especially for the brain thing?
Well, I couldn't go outside for a while. Greg was with me when we went to see Dr. Ligner. And Greg said, he won't go off the deck. And Dr. Ligner said, you have to understand, he has PTSD.
Oh, yes.
Well, and then I was talking with my primary care physician about that, my fear of walking on grass. And she said, do you dream about this? And as a matter of fact, those were my nightmares, being barefoot on a grassy field and being barefoot in the woods.
Wow.
So she first referred me to a hypnotherapist. I went through some sessions of that and felt okay. I took the precautions and I walked down to the pond. When I got back to the house, I inspected myself and I had two ticks on me. And so that was a real setback. And I just didn't even think of going outside. And I was talking with my doctor again, and she said, she gave me a list of counselors who specialize in PTSD treatment. So I went through treatment for that. It is basically very focused relaxation to get me to the point where I can say, look, I've lived in this house for 34 years. This happened once. Yeah. Get over it. So I can now go outside. I wear permethrin-treated pants, permethrin-treated socks. I tuck my pants into my socks, and I can go to the pond. And then when I get back to the house, I inspect myself. So that's the reality that we all have to face. The days of walking barefoot in the grass are over.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's no bug spray, I assume, that can keep them off a body. Is that true or not?
Even when I've treated myself with DEET, I have pulled ticks off me, yeah.
There must be something in your system that really, because I've never heard anybody had so many ticks on them and had such extreme disease as a result.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. My sister and I are the same way with mosquitoes. We attract mosquitoes. Greg is outside all the time. He has five gardens. He takes the precautions of tucking his pants into his socks and sprays with DEET, but he never gets any.
Wow, that is amazing. I wonder if they're going to find out it has to do with Italian blood.
Or the olive oil in my bloodstream.
Yeah, exactly. If you're just joining us, my guest is Joe LaQuatra. We're doing a health challenges show, and he's talking about how he has been living for quite a while with Lyme disease. Now, I want to know how this has affected your relationships with people. Obviously, it's affected your ability to go outside, which you love.
Right.
And how has it affected? Are people afraid it might be contagious?
Well, it is, in fact. Lyme can be sexually transmitted. But I have a friend who is a landscaper, and he's just now recovering from Lyme disease, and he won't go outside again. And I shared my story with him and recommended that he see someone about being treated for PTSD.
Well, how does he literally stay inside all the time? How is that possible?
Do you stay indoors? I have an attached garage in my house so I can get in the car without going outside. It was pretty bad. I was even watching where I was parking after that because I didn't want to walk on a medial strip and walk on the grass. And I have a handicapped parking permit now. So I'm very careful about where I park
God,
and how I get
this is how it so changed your life. That's unbelievable.
It is a life changer. I mentioned my friend Leslie in Maine, her husband who had Lyme for 3 years before he was diagnosed with it. He eventually developed dementia, And Leslie took care of him as long as she could, but he was getting up in the middle of the night and she was worried about him. She put him in an Alzheimer's care facility. One night he got tangled in his sheets, fell out of bed, hit his head on a nightstand on the way down, had to have brain surgery,
and
died.
Wow.
Yeah, at 65 years old.
Wow. That's the aspect of this that I find so disturbing, the brain aspect, how it can destroy your intellect and even your place in the world in so many ways. Well, would you have had to quit your job? I know you've retired as a professor.
I am now retired, but that's an interesting question because I would not have been able to work all that time. I was at a reunion, a fraternity reunion a couple years ago, and one of my fraternity brothers told me he had Lyme. And I said, oh, how long did you have it? He said, you never get over Lyme.
Yeah.
And I think he may be right.
Yeah. Is that what the doctor tells you, though, that it's going to be a chronic condition you're going to have to just contain?
Well, I think I'm over Lyme. I was tested with a Western blood test and was cleared. But there's the permanent damage, the damage to my knees, for example.
Yeah. And how is your memory and your brain, has it gotten better?
Yeah.
Now, is there any study about what if you did get bitten by a tick again that had carried this horrible disease?
Well, and that can happen because it's a bacteria. It's
not
a virus. So.
Of course. So what would happen? Would you die? Would you get 10 times worse? Would you have to start over again with
the
treatments?
I've had to start over again.
Really?
A friend of mine, I was talking with her recently. She has had it 3 times. She's an avid gardener. She's not going to give up gardening, but she goes to her doctor regularly to be checked.
Well, so she can't. You can't prevent it, right?
I mean,
it'll get on your face. There's no way you can cover yourself totally up. So that's probably why people are getting PTSD, right? Because there's no way to really protect yourself from this.
No, and when you have it and see how devastating the illness can be, you're just that much more afraid of it.
Yeah. What do you think about the fact that in the medical community and in the culture, a lot of people don't believe that this really exists?
I had that very experience. In Dr. Ligner's book, In the Crucible of Chronic Lyme Disease, the CDC insists that there is no such thing as chronic Lyme disease.
They still say that?
Yeah. And after my first dose of doxycycline, for example, when my knee started to bother me, I wanted to see a doctor about it, and I was asked, how long has it been since your last dose of doxycycline? And it hadn't been 6 weeks. And I was told, we can't see you until 6 weeks have passed.
Oh, wow.
Some doctors have, I asked my primary care physician about that. And doctors who do that, treat you before the 6 weeks are up, risk losing their license.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it because it's not recommended or it can be damaging?
There was a special on PBS about this, and it was that the CDC is using outdated research as a basis for their policy.
Really? And there are people who still don't take this seriously, right?
Yes.
And I've heard people say that, oh, sure, you've got Lyme.
Right. I went to a doctor here in town when I was in feeling well, and she said to me, you know, this whole thing with chronic Lyme disease, I just don't buy it.
Really?
Even though here I was with it after being on 2 or 3 doses of antibiotics.
And so what did you say to this doctor that said that?
I mean,
what are all my symptoms about, right?
I wrote her a letter and I gave her some citations to read that you can call it chronic Lyme. And I think the CDC actually calls it post-treatment Lyme disease.
What does that mean, though, post-treatment? You mean once it's been treated and you think you're cured?
Yeah, and then you get sick again, then you get treated again.
Is this something that you're going to have to expect, though, that it will keep recurring and coming
so
back?
So far it hasn't. It's been a year since that happened. I just have the permanent damage, mostly to my knees.
And will that get better or worse?
No.
Is it being treated?
I don't know. I did talk to the surgeon about this pain that I still have in my left knee, and since the patella had to be replaced, she said that it may take up to a year before I'm fully over it.
Wow. So, this is a perfect example of why people have to take this seriously.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people think, I'll just take antibiotics for a couple weeks. It'll be fine.
No.
I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
That they're outdoors all the time. They don't put any protection on. It's really amazing. Did you ever have that bullseye effect that they talk about?
I didn't have the bullseye rash. I never saw the bite.
Wow. Wow. Are they still saying that bullseye rash is...
That doesn't occur with everyone. I think it's only in about 30% of the people who get bitten.
God. So this is one of the biggest public health crises we've had in 40 years, and there's still no cure. Are you?
No, there's a cure. There's no vaccine.
There's no vaccine.
Right.
There is a cure, though, but it doesn't...
It doesn't
stop the damage that can happen, though. So it doesn't completely cure you of the effects.
No, you can have permanent damage.
Yeah. Wow. This is unbelievable. What do you say to people in regard to being outdoors?
Look at my knees. I've got two big scars, one on each knee. And I forgot to mention, I still have that pain in my tooth. I went to the dentist over, and I can't open my jaw all the way either. It makes it difficult to eat hamburgers, for example, and I can't eat a bagel anymore.
Wow, that is unbelievable. And when you tell people about this, do they say, "Oh, come on, Joe"? No, not that it's in your head, but that it's something else. Arthritis, for instance, in your knee.
I think you're right that people don't take this as seriously as they should.
Yeah,
I didn't. For example, I was always barefoot on my way to the pond.
And you used to come over to my yard and just hang out and nothing. I haven't seen too many ticks, but there are a lot of ticks in this area, are there not?
Yeah, Lyme disease is endemic in our county.
God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So do you think they should be doing more public service announcements and informational talks about this? So would you be willing to do some of that?
I didn't take it seriously before. I always thought the look was stupid to tuck your pants into your socks.
Well, it is kind of.
But when you realize what can happen if you don't take those precautions, and it's not stupid at all.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else would you tell people? I mean, you obviously wouldn't tell people to stay indoors all the time.
No, go outdoors, but inspect yourself when you get back in the house. Inspect yourself.
Inspect yourself. And use bug spray because it might help a little
bit. Use DEET, and permethrin-treated clothing. I bought a pair of white jeans so that if a tick is on it, it'll be easier to see because deer ticks are only the size of poppy seeds.
Yeah.
And I treated those jeans with permethrin. And my sister gave me permethrin-treated socks. So that's what I use when I go to the pond.
Wow. How has this shaped your life in regard to precautions? And do you move differently in the world now because of this? It's always there, right?
Yeah. Well, I used to look at my acreage where Greg and I live on 42 acres. I looked at it as a paradise. And you've been to my house. You know, that's a great view.
Oh, yeah.
But I still appreciate that view, but I'm aware of what's out there now.
Are you able to live your life in a normal kind of fashion, or is it always on your mind and always
in your thoughts? No, it's always
on my mind. No. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really? And are you afraid all the time?
Vigilant. I wouldn't say I'm afraid, but I'm vigilant. I will take the precautions when I go outside, and when I get back into the house, I inspect myself. That's the reality. That's what we have to do.
Yeah. And have you had to go to different doctors who still are skeptical that's what this diagnosis is?
Well, I've run into two doctors that don't believe that such a chronic situation exists. That they believe that one dose of doxycycline and that's it. But that's not always the case.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people do, they must think it's a psychological condition, right? That you're imagining this stuff or manifesting it because of stress or, you know.
Yeah.
God, that's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And so it has totally changed your life. Is there anything you can't do now that you used to besides running?
Well, I can't run anymore.
Right. But is there anything else that it has stopped you from doing that you love?
Well, my appetite is different. You noticed it I mean, you mentioned that the other day, that I look like I've lost weight.
Oh, yeah.
I just haven't been able to put it back on.
Yeah. Does it make you conscious about being out in public and out in the world in general, or is it only in wildlife areas or places where there's trees? And
well, even now, you can see I'm wearing shorts and sneakers, but when I walked over here from the parking garage, I walked on a medial strip and there's grass, and I was just aware of it, that I'm not protected the way I should be. So,
wow. God, it's really amazing. What would you tell people if they were newly diagnosed? Are there any things that you should have done differently when you first got diagnosed that you would recommend?
Well, I did write a letter to the doctor who treated me in the emergency room, not accusatory or anything, just to let him know that it wasn't a viral infection. I had been diagnosed with Lyme disease. He called me, actually. He thanked me for writing him that letter. He said, "You've really shaken my tree."
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you are able to affect it in some ways.
Right.
Because of this
experience.
That's
what I said in the letter. When someone comes in the emergency room showing the signs that I had, I should have been tested for Lyme then.
Yeah. So you would recommend that people go get checked immediately, because if they're in denial and let this go too long,
you can develop serious problems.
Oh, it's not treated. It's just amazing. And so what does it eventually do? Does it eventually kill you? Is that the diagnosis one would have if they had this kind of a severe Lyme disease outbreak?
Well, look at Leslie's husband, John, is gone because of it.
Because of the mental.
Because he wasn't treated early and he developed dementia.
Mm-hmm. So you would recommend any kind of symptom, right?
Yeah. Well, and the woman I spoke with on the plane, who knew of that teenager who ended up in a wheelchair over Lyme disease. The bacteria does favor the knee, and will get in your knees.
Yeah. So have you learned anything wonderful out of this in your life? Has it given you any benefits at all?
It's hard to think of a benefit. It's just made me much more aware of this. I was talking with someone about it who said Lyme is one climate change-related disease that we will be dealing with, that as the polar ice caps melt, viruses and bacteria that we haven't seen in thousands of years are likely to be released.
Oh. Well, I guess we will end on that note. Joel LaPotra, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have any contact information in case anybody wants to get in touch about this, or information for people to get help?
Yeah, well, I mentioned the International Lyme and Associated Disease Society. That's a good resource.
Okay, and can they get in touch with you personally?
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk with anyone about it. My email address is jl27@cornell.edu.
Well, great. Well, Joel LaPotra, thank you so much for joining us. Again, I've been presenting a Health Challenges show, and we've been talking to Joel LaPotra about Lyme disease.
Our audio producer is Nate Richardson at Rep Studio in Ithaca, New York. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega, and we are a sponsored project of the New York Foundation for the Arts. Tax-deductible donations are welcome at artspire.org. That's artspire.org. And visit us online at outofboundsradioshow.com. I'm Tish Perlman. We'll be back next week.